Good morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is Monday and we are now in the season of Advent, so we are going to get ready to welcome the Lord. We hope we're going to be able to help you do that this morning. Let's kick things off as we do each day in prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to a new day. We thank you for this season of Advent. We ask for the grace to grow closer to you through your Son, Jesus, throughout the next several weeks. Father, we ask you to use us this day to do your work, whatever that may be. Help us always to remember that wherever we go, whatever we do today, you are with us and we are always in your presence. Father, we lift up our families, our friends, our co-workers, anyone we will meet today. We ask that you use us in some way to bring them closer to you. We pray, Father, that you will speak through us on the program today, and please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us on the show today. We've got a great program for you. Kate Wicker is going to be joining us to discuss her book, Getting Past Perfect. Kate was on last week. We had some phone problems, so we're going to continue the discussion with Kate today. Also, Mark Poletino, the president of the Malvern Retreat House, will be here to let us know of some of the upcoming events at Malvern and share a few thoughts about the Advent season. By my side, as usual, the man who is so cool that you have to wear gloves to shake his hand.
Hey,
Dave Parker.
Hi, how you doing? I thought, is Tommy here?
You good are morning, cool, Gary. Parker. You don't give yourself enough credit.
Thank you, Gary. That was nice words.
That's how are funny. You today?
I'm well. How
good.
Are you?
I'm good. Frank Eliason, I want to talk Eagles because it's over.
Here comes the Philadelphia.
I'm a Philadelphia fan. I knew it was too good to be true. But we talked about this before the show started. You're not upset about this.
No, before the game last week, during the course of the week, I said to a number of people that I actually thought they would, I was hoping in many ways that they would lose this game. And part of it is they were playing a tough team. Seattle is a playoff contender. They're going to make it into the playoffs most likely. And, one of the things is, with any sport, you get to a point where cockiness and, all that type of stuff, you need someone to bring you down to earth, mm-hmm. as we, can say. And so this kind of brought them down to earth a little bit. I think it's one of those times where now they can know, hey, you're going to play in the playoffs. You're going to play these contenders.
Yeah.
They're good. And, and one of the things I started thinking about yesterday, actually, during the game, because, it's better to think of other things than necessarily watching the game at times. But one of the things I was thinking about during the game is, I kind of love some of the fun, things that they've done through the course of the season after touchdowns and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I think that lends itself to a little bit of cockiness, and they seem to get more and more dramatic as they went through. And so
they were very confident.
They were getting that confidence. Yeah. So my hope is that became a wake-up call yesterday's game. We'll find out if I'm right this week against
my
the Rams.
Friends, exactly. Right. I was thinking that on the way up. Yeah, I mean, they needed to be leveled a little bit. Because the teams that they've played thus far, haven't been as good as the Seahawks.
That was
their first true test. But I was thinking also, I'm glad we won all those games.
Good point.
We could sit there and be offended or upset that Wentz fumbled, or we could be upset that, they didn't challenge the one forward pass. These things can happen, but this is a wake-up call not only to the players, it's a wake-up call to the coaching staff, and, I think it could set us up for a really good stretch in the playoffs. Yeah. It was a good timing to do it. Would I like to see them get home field advantage? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought was, you got to step it up now, boys. I mean, you're good, but you were just outplayed tonight. By the Seahawks. Now you got it. Now you know where you have to go from here.
That's right. Yeah.
Take the good with the bad.
I like that. I like that optimism, Frank.
I think they're a good team. I think that, but remember, you have to remember two things. You have to remember, they're a young team.
Yes.
This is a very young team. But number two, at the start of the season, I think most of us would have said, well, they'll be lucky to get 9-6, and even that, I don't think they're going to get in the playoffs.
Kind of the typical.
You're a team that's 10-2, and you know they're going to make it into the playoffs. No one at the start of this season expected
good
that.
Point.
So you
good
know
point.
What? It's okay to have this.
He loss. Looks right. like Frank.
yeah, I know.
What have you done with Frank Eliason?
Not,
I mean, you're
really,
from Philadelphia. You know,
I kind of had an
issue. Yeah, what's up with that? You look a little younger today.
Actually, my daughter said, your head looks like you're just a clay ball.
I saw that.
She said this as I'm going to Immaculata on Friday night. Thank you. What happened was I went to trim. I have since we're on the air, people don't necessarily know, I have a shaved head and I have a goatee. And I was going to trim the goatee.
That's cool.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the Breaking Bad look. And I went to shave the goatee and the trimmer was not at its normal setting of 5.5.
Uh-huh.
It was a setting of 1.
Oh.
And
that
literally took the center of the goatee straight out.
Which is an interesting look.
Yeah, it was a different look. And so I had to debate what to do. And so it's gone for now. It will be back.
All right, okay. All right. Well, that's it.
Welcome to Gary and Dave and Frank's Barber Show.
Hey,
okay, and beer.
I had an interesting weekend. Like, can I tell you guys about what I did? My nephew had a birthday party, and we went bowling. So we went bowling. I haven't bowled in years. Here's what's interesting. Of course, there's a story here. It's not just a simple matter of I stunk at bowling, which I did. So I'm there with my wife and my daughter.
Be kind to yourself.
And, well, my daughter Elizabeth threw the ball, and somehow her ring came off and landed. It was a little ways up in the gutter. And I said, all right, this is my job. I've got to go get it. Now, there were signs up, do not step in front of the line. I didn't realize this. Maybe you guys know this. But they greased the lane or something, so it's very slippery. So I stepped across the line. Of course, everybody's watching me, right? All of a sudden, I am on ice. And I'm doing, all kinds of gyrations.
A pirouette.
Yeah, right.
Or two.
Go down on my knees unintentionally. So I had no idea what. But fortunately, I didn't get hurt.
Good.
And I retrieved the ring, but I learned my lesson. There's a reason why they say don't cross the line. And then my other big fear was that I would trip as I was about to release the ball. I haven't bowled in a while. It just didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah,
up there.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Oh, I enjoy bowling.
Do you?
I haven't bowled in
was
years.
Was it Lord of the Rings and was it Gollum with the ring? Yeah, that flashed into my mind. Remember that movie? And he loved the ring, and he was kind of the evil character. I don't know if Gary, you don't. You, I don't know if you're aware of some of those movies.
No, I am not. No,
okay.
I am not.
Oh, look that up. Look up Gala.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
You can work on that while I read the weather. How's that sound?
Sure.
But anyway, thanks for embellishing my story, Dave.
Frost.
I do appreciate it. Yeah, there really was. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 34 degrees under foggy skies. Today we're going to have areas of fog before 8 a.m. Otherwise, we're going to have a high near 53. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low around 45. Tuesday, showers likely, but mainly afternoon. Otherwise, it will be cloudy with a high near 61. And as usual, we've got quite a variation of temperatures here. In Phoenixville, it's 25. Over the river in Beverly, New Jersey, it's 34.
And through the woods.
That's right.
We're going to launch
it. Glad
the song,
you're listening.
You know?
And who wants to guess what the temperature is right here in Doylestown, PA?
27.
Ooh, that's close. 26.
Ooh.
26 degrees.
I just know it was cold.
Yeah.
Right here in Doylestown, that's the temperature.
Yes.
All right, let's see what we have. Almost time for the gospel. Why don't we go into the gospel today? Since we are now in the Advent season, we have special gospels for Advent. Today we read from Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion approached him and appealed to him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, suffering dreadfully. Jesus said to him, I will come and cure him. The centurion said in reply, Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come here, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, Amen, I say to you, no one in Israel have I found such faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. Now, here's an example of this centurion who really did have faith, who really did believe that the Lord could cure his mm-hmm. servant, so much so that we're told that Jesus was amazed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, love that. That's one
a
of
great
my favorites.
Story.
I have favorites.
That's a great story.
In the top five.
Now, as a military man, you could probably relate to the centurion, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, given an order, I mean, and the belief. I mean, when you give an order to a subordinate or you receive one from a higher up,
right.
It's obedience. You know, you go and perform.
Exactly.
And so that's the faith. So I love that. It has all that wrapped up in that.
And the one thing that touched me when I was listening to this gospel, I was listening to it on the way up to the station to prepare, was that people are going to be listening to this program today. We're now in Advent saying, you know what? I don't have this kind of faith. I don't have this kind of faith. What do I do? Well, Advent is a season of hope, Frank. This is the season mm-hmm. where we remember that there's always hope. Don't lose hope that your faith can never get to this point. Ask for an increase in the gift of faith and realize that the Lord can do it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think it is stepping back. It's praying. It's starting to really take in what this season is really about.
Yeah.
And I think as you do that, that's how you build your faith.
Yeah, quiet expectation.
There you go.
You know, we're waiting. We have to be
watchful. An expectation, right, Dave?
Watchful, yes.
We expect something
exactly.
to happen. I don't care if you've wasted every Advent throughout your life. This Advent is a mm-hmm. new beginning. And I think
Absolutely.
That's an important message for
us. It totally is a new beginning. And it's a great chance for us to really take in, you know, look around you, the beauty that's around you, the things that are around you that's God-like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, last year and this year, we got a real tree.
Mm-hmm.
Just got our real tree yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting because you go and pick out that tree, and you never really know what it looks like until you put it in.
Right.
But then put it in last night, and you look at the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just having that there, that beauty comes from somewhere.
Yeah, and real quick, Gary, I know we're going to break. Last night at St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Fairless Hills, we had the Advent Tays prayer service. Very beautiful. Many of you know what it is, many not. Look it up, but it is. It's a very contemplative, prayerful.
Take advantage of all these Advent celebrations at your church. Get ready because the Lord is coming, and so is Kate Wicker. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for December 4th. Today we celebrate St. John Damascene. Born in Damascus in the mid-7th century, John received a classical and theological education before following his father in a government position under the Arabs who controlled that region. Within a few years, the young man entered the monastery of St. Sabas near Jerusalem. There he would live out most of his life, spending much of his time writing theological works, hymns, and poetry. John Damascene is famous in three areas. First, he is known for his writings against the iconoclasts who destroyed icons and statues of Christ, Mary, and other saints. Second, he is famous for his treatise entitled Exposition of the Orthodox Faith, a summary of the Greek Fathers. Finally, he is known as one of the two greatest poets of the Eastern Church. For over 30 years, John combined a life of prayer with his generous literary and preaching talents at the service of the Lord. He defended the Church's understanding of the veneration of images and explained the faith in several other controversies. John Damascene died in 749. He was declared a Doctor of the Church by Pope Leo XIII in 1890.
The new Saint of the Day app is available now for your smartphone or tablet. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. In the valleys that I want.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Zach Williams with Old Church Choir. There ain't nothing going to steal my joy. I think that's really appropriate because we are joined now by Kate Wicker, the author of Getting Past Perfect. You can find her online at katewicker.com. She's a storyteller. She's a speaker. And she talks about motherhood. Now, we had Kate on the program last week. We had some technical issues. We have her back. Hey, Kate, good morning.
Good morning.
It's going to go better this time, Kate. I have a good feeling.
Yeah, I love that song. Yeah. Nothing. I tell my kids sometimes when another sibling is fighting with them, I said, and they get upset, I said, don't let them steal your joy.
Well, yeah, you know, and I think that's so appropriate because last time we began the discussion on the changing role of motherhood and how things happen, the kids get older, and it becomes difficult. And you also address in your book, and I wanted to talk a little bit about this today, the fact that sometimes it doesn't feel joyful to be a mom, right? What do we do about that? Are we doing something wrong?
Yeah, I think that there's this, especially it's a beautiful thing that the Catholic Church holds, you know, there's such a high esteem for the vocation of motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes we do think something's wrong with us when we're not enjoying every minute of it.
Right.
But we have to also remember that being a parent, both a mother and a father, is a path to, it's a sanctifying path.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that it's going to be hard sometimes, that God's going to give us, you know, the children that push our buttons more. I went on a real early morning run with a friend this morning, and she has just boys, and she was talking about how her boys just, always constantly need to be served and pampered, and, you know, they get sick and they really want mommy. And it's really funny because I have three girls and two boys, and I have noticed that the girls are kind of like, you know, just as a general statement, don't need quite as much pampering when they're sick as my six-year-old son.
Right.
And I'm not as good with the compassionate pampering when they're sick for some reason, because I grew up with a mom who was just kind of like, you know, an amazing mother, but had her own share of health problems. So she was just kind of like, you're fine, you know, shake it off.
Right, right,
and
right.
So it's funny. So I thought, you know, God gave me these three girls, and maybe I can handle the histrionics a little bit better sometimes. But then he gave me these boys so I can grow in compassion a little bit more.
Good point.
And the wonderful husband, too. Like, when we get the stomach bug, he's dying.
Right. I hear you. I sympathize. We are dying sometimes, Kate.
So I think we get what we need to grow in this holiness. And sometimes the worst thing you can do is fight it. I've used the analogy of the same with labor. When a mom's going through labor, if you know it's going to hurt, so why fight the pain so much? Just know that the end result is going to be a baby. And the same is true, you know, we're being pruned in this lifetime. There's going to be pain. There's going to be difficulty and challenges. And sometimes those little toothpick crosses that we have every day, we think, gosh, why are we having such a hard time? But that can make us feel less joyful, and that's okay. And we need to sort of accept that and pray for the strength to do it day in, day again, and just not give up on ourselves.
Kate, how is it that when we look on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, everybody else's life is perfect, and ours isn't? Is it just a fluke? Like, why is my life not picture perfect?
Well, I think you make a huge, a great point. Social media has made it even more difficult for us to think that we don't have as much solidarity. I think sometimes because we go onto Instagram or whatever and we see this like little perfect square of someone's life, and they have more kids than you, and they're homeschooling them, and they're doing elaborate crafts, and they're, you know, their kids look perfect in the Christmas picture. Meanwhile, we always send a funny Christmas card because we can never get a good one. One year, we even sent one, like, we got a picture of all of us just kind of, my husband was trying to position us in a picture, and that was our Christmas card picture, because that's just real life.
Right,
and
right.
So I think that we have to remember that this is a highlight reel, and if you can also, you know, advertising and things like that, we can't control as much, but you can control your social media feed. And for example, recently, my first book talked a lot about body image. And since I've had this first baby, I found that I was struggling a little bit again. So I culled through my social media feed, and even the feeds that were the accounts that were well-meaning, trying to encourage healthy choices and things, they were just making me feel kind of like icky. And so I have control over that. So I really encourage you to your listeners to take a step back and really realize, number one, that this is just a highlight reel. And then also, you're not forced to look at anyone's account. You are in control of that feed, unlike the billboard you just see, you know, when you're driving down the street. So really sort of think, what's going to encourage you and inspire you? And if you get to a point where nothing is, and I open up about my book, and I know you talk a lot about anxiety. I had a major clinical depressive episode, and I had to completely, I used to blog a lot, and I'm getting back into it, but there was a point in my life where I had to take a complete step away from everything, and I had to focus on getting better and taking care of myself, and I have a wonderful husband. And before I wrote about it in the book, it was really just my husband and two close friends who knew what I was struggling with. So you might have looked back on my blog and thought, gosh, she's got everything going for her, and she juggles all this. Meanwhile, I was crumbling and falling apart, and the depression roared progressively louder until I got some help. And so, and as I've opened up about this, certainly not all the moms that I've talked to have a clinical anxiety or depression, but so many moms are struggling and having joyless moments or even joyless months or years, and are wondering what's wrong with them. And if there's anyone out there who is just, you love your children so much and you can't figure out why you're not happy, you know, it's okay. Think about Christ. He even called out, like, why did you forsaken me? I mean, Christ called out. Why do we expect that we can just put this I'm fine mask on and keep forging along when things are hard?
That's such a great message, and I'm so glad you're talking about that, Kate, because many people are struggling, and especially during this time of year. You know, you watch the Hallmark movies, and everybody's life is perfect, and everything works out great, and it's all joyful, but yet my life might be difficult. I might look at, and I might not have anybody. I might be very lonely. The holiday season can be very difficult, can it, for somebody who's struggling with loneliness?
Yeah, I spoke last night at a parish, and it was an Advent reflection, and I talked about that, how that gaping hole, whatever's made that hole, whether it's because you've lost a loved one or you're lonely, it becomes bigger and bigger the closer you get to Christmas.
Yeah.
And then what's worse is you know you're supposed to be joyful as a Catholic, and it's the beginning of the church year, right?
Right.
We're supposed to be spiritually renewed, and we're just sort of like, but it's the end of the secular calendar, and I'm tired, and how do I find a spiritual springtime in the middle of the winter?
Yeah.
And I think just by knowing that you're not alone, that there are other people who are going through that same thing, that doesn't make you flawed. I think that there's a lot of stigma for people who struggle with, you know, depression or anxiety, or struggle during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we believe that Christ is our joy and our Savior, then we should always be happy, right?
Right, that's the feeling, right? Right.
You know, but the thing is Jesus is hope for the world, and hope isn't the same thing as optimism.
Hmm.
I was listening to Word on Fire with Bishop Barron yesterday, and one of his older, he was talking about hope, and he said, you know, in Auschwitz, someone could have hope, but no optimism, knowing that they were maybe going to die in a concentration camp. But they could still have hope, because hope is something that we, as Christians, we are looking for, we have in Jesus Christ, and we will have it after all this suffering.
Hmm.
So it's something that you can have hope without optimism. And I never really thought about it that way, because sometimes I feel guilty that I'm sort of this Eeyore kind of person. But I can still be hopeful, even if I do struggle more with being melancholy. I can still, that doesn't mean that hope can't be a part of my life. And hope isn't some unicorn we're chasing after. It's a theological virtue.
Wow.
And I think it's something that really can help us through this difficult time, is that, yeah, it's okay to feel sad.
Great point.
You know, and to be anxious. But remember, you do have hope. You have the light of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Kate, now we have just about 30 seconds left in the segment. When I was at Mass yesterday, the priest said something great in his homily. And I know you're going to agree with this, but I want to run it by you anyway. He said, it's okay to say no during Advent. You don't have to do every activity out there. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree. I had someone come up to me once and say, thanks to you, I'm no longer doing the Jesse tree.
Yay.
I felt a little guilty, because I thought, well, it was a good thing, because it was causing her stress. And you can learn about the genealogy of Christ without making a gazillion little perfect cell ornaments. So look at your calendar and remember that there's a yes behind every no. Maybe it's a yes to your sanity. Maybe it's a yes to some protective family time. My husband and I had a Christmas party scheduled for Saturday, and we just decided, you know what? We had a busy Saturday morning. We needed to just be home with our immediate family. We didn't need to go out and do this Christmas party. And sometimes you have to be protective. And just remember that when you are saying no, there is a yes behind it. And if you're stressed, you know what? Bring the store-bought cookies. Don't make the homemade. Nobody cares. And if somebody does care, just remember, Jesus doesn't care. He was born in a dirty manger among animals, the king of the world.
Wow. You're on fire, my sister. Kate, thanks so much for joining us, and have a blessed Advent.
All right. You too. A blessed Advent.
All right. See you later. That's Kate Wicker. You can find her online at katewicker.com. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Malvern Retreat House with Mark Poletino. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. President Donald Trump fired off a series of weekend tweets taking aim at the FBI and raising questions about the special prosecutor's investigation into Russian election meddling and possible ties to his campaign. The Twitter storm, containing more than a dozen tweets Saturday and Sunday, came after Trump's former national security advisor Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. It came to light recently that a member of the investigation team had been removed for anti-Trump private text messages. Pope Francis has dismissed any importance put on the fact that he did not pronounce the word Rohingya while in Myanmar, waiting instead until he met with the downtrodden Muslim minority in Bangladesh. It is a loaded term in the country, and Cardinal Charles Bowe of Myanmar asked him to avoid using it for fear of reprisal against Catholics there. During his in-flight press conference on his way back to Rome, the Pope said, quote, "I was interested that this message would arrive. For this, I saw that if in the official speech I would have said that word, I would have thrown the door in a face. But I described it, the situations, the rights, no one excluded, the citizenship, to allow myself in the private conversations to go beyond," end quote. And the college football playoff semifinals will include two members of the SEC. Alabama has beaten out my Ohio State Buckeyes for the final berth in a field that has number one Clemson, number two Oklahoma, and number three Georgia. Clemson will take on Alabama at the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, and Georgia and Oklahoma will square off in the Rose Bowl. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Obedience has never been easy or popular.
1 Minute Monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
In monastic life, each monk gives obedience to the abbot and the community. The fundamental obedience for Saint Benedict, however, is simply obedience to God's will, a basic Christian virtue. The rule of Saint Benedict emphasizes obedience as imitation of Christ, who came not to do his own will, but the will of the Father in loving trust, even unto death. In a monastic community and in your own life, obedience simply means following the will of God and fulfilling our vocation to the best of our ability.
For your free copy of the Rule of Saint Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. oneminutemonk.com.
Obedience is a paradox. In its practice, we find our surest path to freedom.
You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
On the living room floor for the 15th time today, matching up socks, sweeping up lost Cheerios that got away. You put a baby on your hip and color on your lips and head out the door. And while I may not know you, I bet I know you. Wonder sometimes, does it matter at all? Well, let me remind you, it all matters just as long as you do your name. You may be hooking up mergers, cooking up burgers, but at the end of the day, little stuff, big stuff, in between stuff, God sees it all the same. And while I may not know you, I bet I know you. Wonder sometimes, does it matter at all? Well, let me remind you, it all matters just as long as you do everything you do to the glory. In the Congo, or maybe you're working at the office, singing along with the radio. Maybe you're dining at a five-star, or feeding orphans in Myanmar. Anywhere and everywhere that you are, whatever you do, it all matters. So do what you do, don't ever forget to do everything you do to the glory of the one who made you.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Do Everything by Stephen Curtis Chapman. I'm Gary Zimak. The time right now is 7:35. That song has such a great message. When you do everything for the Lord, everything that you do today, all of your work, whatever it may be, when you do it for Him, all of a sudden, they are not little things anymore. They're big things. And all of your work, all of your mundane duties can become prayer. What a great message. I love that song. We are joined now by the president of the Malvern Retreat House, Mark Poletino. Mark joins us every month to give us some insight onto the goings-on at the Malvern Retreat House. Hey, Mark, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Brother Gary. Great to hear you. Happy Advent.
Happy Advent. All right, Mark, I'm going to hit you with something before we talk about the Advent adventures over at Malvern. I want to get your thoughts on something. St. Bernard of Clairvaux talks about three comings of Christ. Now, during Advent, we obviously recognize the fact that Christ came 2,000 years ago to earth. We recognize, number two, that he will come again in glory one day. But that third coming, Mark, that St. Bernard talks about, that coming to him, to us, right now, in the present moment of Christ, that's very important, isn't it? Especially during Advent.
Absolutely, Gary, and I think that that is probably the coming of Christ that we can so often overlook, because we put so much emphasis on the event of Christmas and the second coming, and we prepare ourselves, we got to get ready for that second coming whenever we're going to meet the Lord, but he is here in our midst. And we know during this time of Advent and Christmas, Emmanuel, God is with us. It's not just the one and done. It is Jesus constantly revealing himself to us. And we have to have hearts and minds open and receptive to Jesus, to meet him in others, to meet him in the world, and to bring him to the world. So I think it's so important that as we breathe in Jesus and we breathe out Jesus to the world.
Now, how do I do that, Mark? It's a Monday morning. The Eagles lost last night. You know, somebody's listening to the show saying, yeah, these guys are too optimistic. I've got a zillion things to do to prepare for Christmas. How do I do that today?
It's a bummer. Bummer waking up on a Monday morning and having to go to work. It's a double bummer when we hear that the Eagles were manhandled by the Seahawks. That's unfortunate.
That's right.
But they're still in it. They're still in the running. The reality, I think, is, Gary, that here we are, all of us are carrying heavy burdens. All of us are distracted. We're moving from one thing to another to another. And the Lord is simply asking us to do something very simple, and that is to say to him, Lord, I trust you.
Wow.
I trust you that in the midst of all of this, that you will be with me. And I trust that as I try to, despite everything going on, that I try to say yes to you, that you will break through my distraction, you'll break through my hardness of heart, and give me the insight, give me the direction, and give me the hope. Give me the hope that I need to recognize you and bring you to others. If we're taking this journey with the Lord with any bit of seriousness, it's saying to him, okay, Lord, I want to be a disciple, and I want to do it in the place you have placed me, in those circumstances, within my family, whatever it might be.
I love that. That's a powerful message. Too often we get caught up in the thought process that, well, if only this gets resolved, or once my kids grow up, or once I have less responsibilities at work, then I'm going to have time for the Lord. But he's saying, no, right now is that time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can't overlook it.
Great message. Now, Mark, Malvern has some great events planned for the month of December. You want to share a few of those with us?
Absolutely. Coming up on Wednesday of this week, on December 6th, we have an Advent Day of Reflection from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. with Father Matt Guckin, a great preacher, great priest of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And it's bound to be a wonderful day of prayer and reflection if people are trying to try and carve out a little bit of time during this busy Advent. That might be one of the ways of doing it. And also, there's another great option on Friday, December 8th.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Right.
And we have the Spirit Power Retreat with Marty Rotella and team.
Oh, and man. You know that's going to be good. One thing about Marty, my only complaint about Marty is he doesn't pack a lot of emotion into his present. I mean, that man is so on fire. You got to wear an asbestos suit to get near him.
You are guaranteed. Anybody is able to get to that retreat, they are guaranteed to be lifted up and energized by the Spirit of God.
Oh, yeah.
So that's on Friday of this week. It's
awesome.
Also the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Right.
We'll be celebrating Mass, so it's a wonderful blend of that celebration. We have our traditional men's retreat of the Immaculate Conception with Father Mike Shea and Father John Myers coming up next weekend.
Mm.
Then on the 15th to the 17th, Friday through Sunday, a wonderful retreat, Flame of Love retreat, great way to prepare for Advent and continue to celebrate Advent and prepare for Christmas, the Flame of Love retreat with Father James Blunt. And Father Jim Blunt is a tremendously inspired, anointed priest and preacher. I have to say it, he has mystical qualities where he really speaks for the Lord and has tremendous insight and healing gifts. And if anybody's able to make that retreat on the 15th to 17th, it would be absolutely wonderful. And then we're just trying to be still a little bit and give our associates, give our staff a little bit of time to celebrate Christmas and New Year's. And then we'll be ramping up again on the 5th of January with our first Friday, then Serenity Women's Retreat on the 5th to 7th of January, and the Epiphany Retreat for men on the 5th to 7th. So we have a lot of the weekend retreats coming up. We have a lot of other events. If people want to register, they can go to our website, melvernretreat.com. They can go to our new spanking website, which is a really, really neat website. I'm very happy with the look of it, and easy to manage. Or call our office at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400.
And Mark, we're going to have your information linked at spiritinthemorning.com. And I want to encourage anybody listening to really seriously consider checking out Malvern Retreat House. Just go to malvernretreat.com. I've told the story, Mark, many times when I've given my retreats at Malvern, when I've spoken there. Growing up in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, I ignored these retreats for many years. And I had one friend who was always pestering me, "You've got to go to Malvern." And I always said, "No, I don't have time for that." But once I got there, and it took many years, once I got there, you do something very special at Malvern. You know, Mark, and I want to thank you for all that you do personally, because you have made a tremendous difference. And I'm so blessed to know you and to be affiliated with the Retreat House. You guys do such a great job, so thank you.
Well, thanks be to God, and it's a sacred ground, it's God's place, and it's His work, and the Holy Spirit is alive, and we just have to get out of the way and let Him do His work.
Exactly, and Mark, I've heard so many people who have said, you know, for the retreats that I've given there, I've never been here before, but once I came, I want to come back, and that, you must hear that over and over again.
Absolutely, and God carved out that special place up there in Chester County, and it's sacred ground, and he does great things for people who show up.
Right, and I would encourage anyone, even if you haven't signed up for a retreat, to just take a trip out to Malvern and walk around the grounds. That would be okay, Mark, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and even if we aren't having retreats, our grounds are always open. We have a lot of grottos and shrines. We have outdoor stations of the cross, four different paths. Cool. Just being on the grounds and walking the grounds and praying and being still is a marvelous time. And that was my first introduction to Malvern Retreat House, where my wife and I would walk the grounds and just pray there.
Yeah.
And subsequently, I got more involved.
Yeah, so I would encourage anybody out there to give it a shot and check out the website. The website is great, malvernretreat.com. Mark Poletino, you are amazing, brother. I know you're a really busy guy, but I so appreciate you being with us today and every month.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Gary, and holy blessed Advent to you and all of the listeners on Holy Spirit Radio.
You too, my friend. God bless you. We'll talk to you next month.
Amen.
All right. That's Mark Poletino from the Malvern Retreat House. Check them out at malvernretreat.com for more information. You know, Dave, every time Mark comes on, I never tell him what we're going to talk about, but he's such a good evangelist, and he lets the Holy Spirit work through him.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and before we go to break, hey, Mark and family, happy Advent.
That's exactly right. Happy Advent to Mark and family and everybody listening out there. When we come back, we've got the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When the terrorist group ISIS started attacking cities in Iraq, four Catholic seminarians were forced to flee for their lives. Thankfully, they found safe haven in Lebanon, where they resumed their studies. Well, in 2016, these young men were ordained deacons, which is a necessary step before becoming a priest. For the ceremony, they returned to Iraq, specifically Erbil, so they could be ordained in a church located in a refugee camp. One of the seminarians, Remy Marzina Momika, explained to Catholic News Agency that they chose the camp because they too were refugees. And he added, "People want hope, and when they see that there are four young people who will become deacons and be priests, that will give them hope and the power to stay." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit, spirit, spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Shepherds came to see the baby, stood by his mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night. I hear the angels singing, Hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out, Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born, yeah. The shepherds wonder.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Oh, What a Glorious Night by Sidewalk Prophets. Love that Peanuts opening. But you know what? It's important that we do remember what Christmas is all about. And in Advent, we are headed toward that glorious night. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Let's take a quick look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day. It comes from 1 Samuel 17:50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. That's a reminder for us that with God, all things are possible. When we try to do everything through our own power, we're going to fail. But when we turn to the Lord and let him help us, that's so critical. We let him help us. Things will be a whole lot different. So don't lose hope, especially as we go into this Advent season. Don't try to do everything by yourself. Ask him to help you to get greater hope in life, to be able to experience him more deeply during Advent. With that in mind, I want to share a quick thought from the book, 1 Minute Reflections for Advent. today we look at the fact that Advent is a special time to keep close to the Holy Spirit, but Advent and Christmas are periods of abundant graces that flow from the inner life of the Blessed Trinity. These graces are channeled into our hearts through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit. Humbly, patiently, the Holy Spirit pursues each one of us, gradually revealing His divine presence in us, eagerly preparing our hearts to become a worthy manger for the Savior. So as you go about your Advent preparations, don't forget, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. I have one final thing, a quick announcement from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. St. Charles Borromeo Seminary will be hosting the 30th annual Christmas concert and open house. That's going to be Sunday, December the 10th. That's this Sunday from 1 to 4 will be the open house, followed by a concert at 4 p.m. That's at the St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. That is this Sunday. All right, boys, we made it to the end of another show.
Yeah, great show, Gare.
Dave Parker, I think you had something you wanted to share
before we go
off.
Yes, thank you. It's kind of with sadness. St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Perilous Hills lost Monsignor John J. Miller. He was not there. He was pastor emeritus, but he was pastor for like 18 years. A huge influence on many people and a beautiful soul. And another member of the St. Francis Cabrini Men's Prayer Group, Dr. Ben Gatmaten, he was a veterinarian, passed into eternal life this past Thursday. So thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to the Cabrini family community for Monsignor and Ben and the families, and Rose, Ben's wife, and that family. So thank you.
Thanks for mentioning that, Dave. Frank, you have anything before we sign off?
No.
No? You always have something.
I was busy during the show.
What were you doing?
I was bringing down all the Christmas decorations.
Oh.
What'd I tell you, Gare?
Yeah.
I saw. I haven't seen Frank move so fast.
That's quite an operation.
It is. Last year, the three of us did it. That's I just did it during the course of the show.
And I thank you, my brother.
Wow.
I'm just.
So I'm a little worn out.
I was looking forward to it.
Well, okay. Thank you for doing that.
Yes, it's all done.
Yeah. That's
Where are the Magi? Are they on?
One year,
didn't we have them coming down the hall or something?
One of the halls? Yeah, we did. No, they're actually set up this time.
Okay.
I set up as much as I – where okay, I knew I'm things gonna... went, I put it there.
A little inside Holy Spirit Radio Baseball here.
So
it's wonderful.
That one step. Because, you know, we're in Advent. It is a shorter Advent.
It is.
You know, if you think about it, it's basically like a 3-week Advent.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to get those decorations out. We have to start feeling the spirit.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, I think it's actually a good thing to do.
I think it's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Because we have to be excited about it. We have to look forward with anticipation to the coming of the Lord. I want to mention you, speaking of anticipation, tomorrow on the show we're going to be joined by Dr. John Bergsma. We'll continue our look at the story of Abraham. Also, Brian Mercier will be here with us. Father Jeff Kirby will be here on Wednesday. And we have an interesting guest also on Wednesday, a first-time guest, Dr. Robert Waples. He's the author of the book Pope Francis and the Caring Society. Mm. He's going to be talking about the fact that it is important that we care about the environment and other people. You know, a lot of times the Pope gets some pushback about this. Well, you know, if the Pope says it's important, we should at least pay attention. Right, Frank?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think?
Right? but so many times we get caught up in the way, this is the way we do things. Mm-hmm. I don't care about this and that. I care about this, but
we have to care for the world around us. And, you know, I think that's just logical. Mm-hmm. It is part of being who we are. You know, we're here to care for God's world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the environment is a part of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we allow sometimes our polarized politics to influence our, you know, views of things. And in the
even more so in this day and age.
In this day and age, especially. Yes. You know, so it's not a bad thing to be considering these things and thinking about it.
That's right. So he's going to help us get started with that. All right, we got to run. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. He really is. Make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating